here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
All right, side hustlers. Well, I have a question for you. You know, wherever you're at right now, wherever in the world, whatever's going on, maybe you have a side hustle. Maybe you're thinking of starting a side hustle. Maybe you've got a main hustle, you have a side hustle, or some of you I know are serial entrepreneurs. You have like seven businesses going on. But I want to ask you, did you have a moment or have you had several moments when you just felt paralyzed with what's going on in COVID and you thought, I just don't know what to do? Well, in a moment, I'm going to bring out a guest who is just absolutely incredible lady. I think I'm, you know, one of her biggest fans. And she made a decision to navigate her business during COVID, during a shutdown, by communicating, by pivoting, by innovating, and you're going to hear exactly how she did it. So before I do, a couple of quick announcements. Number one, how would you like to be coached by a self-made millionaire who has been in Forbes, CNN, CNBC, Fox, Lifetime, ABC Family, who is also a mom of five and runs three companies for free? Yes, you can. And that's me. So if you are on my list, if you go to SusanSly.com, you get on the list, you are invited to free coaching. And that's where I will coach you on sales, marketing, mindset, money, what you need to succeed. And so I would love to invite you to do that. So just go to SusanSly.com, get on the list. I promise I will not spam you. If you are looking for a marketing agency and you are a side hustler, Agency 8, which is the agency I founded, is the premier marketing agency for side hustlers. So we want to empower you to learn how to market. So you can go there right now. We have an amazing special right now with our Ninja package. That's also going to include your Keep by Infusionsoft app. It's only $147 a month, and you get a free second phone line. So that's right. Business people aren't going to be calling your phone, and that creepy, weird guy off Instagram who somehow got your number isn't going to be calling you. It's fantastic. So go there right now, agency8.com. You can sign up with our Ninja package. It takes literally 2 minutes. You're going to get a free onboarding session. You get to be part of our amazing community. It is absolutely incredible. So my guest today, Amy Lynn, is absolutely incredible. She started her journey in yoga, actually, back in 2010. She became certified. She decided to really change her life and shift how she was showing up in the world. And the thing I want to say to, you know, to everyone in front of her is, from near and afar, she has just been a shining light in my life. And she is a co-founder and manager at the yoga studio that I go to. And some of you might be like, well, what can I learn from someone who's running a yoga studio? Oh, my friends, you're going to learn a whole lot. You're going to learn about mindset. You're going to learn about communication. You're going to learn about how do you navigate when you just feel like burying your head in the sand. And you're going to learn some incredible techniques in terms of navigating this very uncertain world. So Amy Lynn, thank you for joining me, girlfriend.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, Susan, on the show. It is a pleasure.
So let me just jump right in. I have to ask you. Okay, so COVID starts to happen, and, you know, a lot of people panicked. A lot of people in business panicked. What, you know, when you first heard, we have to shut down the studio, what went through your mind?
So the first thing that went through my mind was the thought of our students, you know, our community. You know, we are a small business, but we're a community as well. And so making sure that our students had the tools that they need, how could we continue to give them the tools that they needed to get through this time while we weren't going to be open? How can we communicate the changes to them quickly and efficiently? And then two, how do I continue to support my team? You know, how do I continue to build my team in this time where we weren't going to be seeing each other every day. We were so used to that face-to-face contact every day, and we knew our world was going to be changing. So those were the first couple things that went through my mind, definitely.
And what was the emotion that you had? Because you have such a tremendous heart of service, but did and you're very calm. But did you have a wall kicking moment at all?
You know, I didn't have a wall kicking moment. I had more intense feelings for the collective, being very open and very in touch with energy and people. I had a few moments where I just felt for our human collective and was sad about, you know, how these changes were going to be affecting us. But the most important thing that I kept coming back to was my grounding techniques. Cause I knew that I was going to need to stay strong for a big group of people and calm, like you said. So how do I continue to stay grounded in my personal practices? How can I continue to remind myself that I am okay, that I am safe, and continue to work through that in myself so that I can help everyone else around me? Yeah.
And it's huge. Just that being, there's so much crazy energy like out there, and it's very seductive. I know people, I'm sure you do too, who there's a difference between information and inundation, and they've decided to allow this inundation of negativity to paralyze themselves. And there are people going, I can't wait for 2020 to be over. And I'm like, make the most of every moment. There's opportunity and adversity. Like, you know, I watched as a member of the studio, I watched that suddenly it's like, okay, we have to shut down, but communication went out right away. And, let's talk about that. So what was that process going on internally with the team at Radiate once, you know, you knew that you had to close the doors temporarily? What was the decision-making process there? You know, because I know you guys show up to serve, right? So what happened?
Yeah. So I work with two other really amazing women, and we support each other wholeheartedly. And one of the great things about being able to have like a tight bond within your unit that you're working with is the ability to go to work quickly. We were all available to get on a call, make the decisions that needed to be made in regards to how we were going to continue to conduct business, how we were going to change, and then divide and conquer. As far as, you know, making all the adjustments to our software, I mean, that in general is like a feat. Closing down classes and updating all of the students through social media and email. And the communication piece was really important in how we were using our words, because we know that everyone was inundated with this sense of fear. And what yoga brings to our community is safety and that level of security and love and family. And so we wanted our students and community to know that we were still going to be there for them. And so how were we going to do that? So we did. We just divide and conquered, and we tackled it really quickly. So I'm so grateful to have a good team to work with.
What was the hardest decision you had to make?
You know, it was a gradual progression, like for everyone. You know, we first, you know, were maybe limiting our class sizes, and then we started to limit our class times a little bit. And the hardest decision to make was when we actually decided to close the doors for a period of time. And we were closed for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And that was a really, really tough decision. And honestly, it wasn't a decision that we got to make for ourselves. And that was the hardest part about it. For those of you that are strong and independent and hardworking and entrepreneurial, being told that you have to close your business is really challenging. And so we just had to surrender in that moment. And we had to know that this is just going to be for now, right? This is our situation for now. Our doors will be closed. But what are we going to do next? You know, this is what happens now, but what are we going to do next? And that was when, you know, we went to the online classes for free and being able to give our community live classes, recorded classes, whether it was meditation to just calm them down at the end of the day or a meditation in the morning to, you know, give them an optimistic outlook. And then an active practice in the middle of the day to keep their body moving, to support their body, to, you know, continue to heal their body from home since we couldn't have them in our yoga space. So
it sounds to me that the questions that you choose to ask are indicative of the results that you have, because I wrote this down. Okay, what are we going to do next? It might have been like, and I know one of the partners there might have been like the F-bomb. What the are we going to do next? Exactly. You know, like, uh-huh. But it sounds to me like, okay, what are we going to do next? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to show up to serve. We're still going to do classes. We're going to figure out a way to monetize, because there are still expenses for business owners that happen regardless. So what are some of the other things you guys did to generate revenue, even though you couldn't have students coming?
There were several things that we did in the meantime. The big one that we did was we set up a family fund. As a community of yoga teachers, as well as we have our students, but as a community of yoga teachers and owning a business, we knew that we still needed to be able to support our team members. And so we set up a family fund to help with paying our rent, to help with paying our utilities, and to help pay, you know, some of our staff members that we kept on for those online classes, you know, those that weren't going the unemployment route, that decided to stay on board. So the family fund was amazing, and there was an outpouring from the community. I mean, it makes me a little emotional to talk about it. Everyone gave beautifully, and it was really, really, really sweet, because we know how much we give to our community on a daily basis, but to receive back, you know, to receive back and see how much people really cared about us was really sweet. And then another thing that we did, was we went online and we used our Instagram and Facebook to sell our products online. And we went to doing sales via our Instagram stories and, you know, had our teachers take photos in the new clothing that we had, because of course we had a whole retail area full of product that was just sitting there for those weeks that we were closed. And we would do at home drop off, and, you know, I went and delivered retail to people's homes. We sold so many yoga mats during that time for people to have a new and clean yoga mat to practice on while they were at home. And so those were the two biggest things that we did to help bring in some revenue during that time. That was definitely like on our toes thinking about how we can continue to support our small business.
And energetically too, I love what you shared, because there's so often when we're very focused on adding value to others, it's easy to get into a place where we become great givers and not great receivers right? And there's this thing of a mentor of mine taught me a long time ago in business, it can't be like this, you know, like one hand out, one hand up. It's, mm-hmm. it's kind of this energetic flow of, you know, knowing these ebbs and flows, right? And at the studio, there's this beautiful community, right? And it is like, you know, it is for me, it's my happy place. I'm like, this is, you know, this is where I go. Actually, one of my clients during bought me a gift card, which is so sweet. Shouts out to Allison for like $150. I didn't even know until a couple of weeks ago. Tiffany texted me. She's like, did you know one of your clients bought you a gift card? So it was cool how there were other people supporting the community who weren't even part of the community, like, which is amazing. I love that. The other big thing is the communication, because there were businesses that closed that didn't communicate, and you don't rely solely on social media. In fact, use a CRM to be communicating. There are regular updates that come from the studio via email, via text. Let's talk about that, because some small business owners relying only on social media when they've got to compete with COVID, or they've got to compete with an election, or they've got to compete with all this stuff. Why is it that you guys choose to also do that direct communication?
This was the first time we got into the text messaging. It was a big part of the process. And it was so helpful to be able to use our software program to communicate with students via text message and via email, because there was a lot happening. And we do track our open rates and such via email. And we have such a huge, we have thousands of people on our list that were all across the country. So no matter, you know, if a student came to us one time from New York, being where we are, people come in and visit all the time, or whether they were in Chicago, they knew that we were having these free online classes. They received our email. And yes, social media is really great, and it helps us with our, you know, maybe kind of direct base here in Phoenix, or those people that are in our algorithm, you know. But email was key to really helping us communicate the online classes, the family fund that we had set up, the online shopping that we were going through, that was just so helpful to get it directly in people's inboxes, because you're right, social media got flooded for a while there. I mean, we all know that screen times went way up during COVID, because, you know, there wasn't too much other to do other than be on your screen on your phone. So being able to go directly into people's inboxes, and we did see our open rate increase quite a bit during COVID. So it was an amazing tool for us, and the click-throughs went up. And that's what I love about having a great CRM, is being able to track those types of percentages as well, so you can see where you really are being effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so, there used to be, and you know, from time to time, it'll come out again. Okay, the best time to send an email is Tuesday morning. Your open rate is higher. The best, you know, there's always different things. I think that, you know, my humble opinion as a marketer is that when you have a community and you're communicating value to your list, that's going to help your open rate. Right? Mm-hmm. That you're not, it's not just constantly selling. You guys did a lot of storytelling, a lot of sharing. My favorite story is this. So with the first day you were able to reopen, there was an email that just came out like boom, right? And I was like, I have to go to the studio. And I was taking Mo's class, and he told this story, and I saw you there that morning. I'm like, girl, how did you get this out so quickly? And you told me that you wrote the email that you guys were opening before you were even allowed to open, so that the moment you could find out, you would click a button. Let's talk about that, because that takes a few things. It takes the energy of faith. Like, yeah, we are going to get on the other side of this, and I'm going to be so faithful in this that I'm going to prepare that email anyway.
Like, yep.
What compelled you to do that?
You know, Being forward thinking is an interesting process because we want to be, you know, we practice presence, being here in the moment, right? But we always have to have that hope and faith of whatever it is we're after, right? Whatever our goal is. And during that time, our goal was reopening, right? We were all just like counting down the days and waiting to hear from our governor when we could reopen. And so we knew that it was coming. We felt it was coming. And honestly, we started working on the email weeks before, because, you know, we're really big into, being a loving community and being really caring and thoughtful. And we wanted to make sure that how we were communicating our reopening was worded perfectly, that we were conveying the, you know, sincerity of our, you know, concern for what was still happening in the world. Like we're still not out of this, right? And so what are we doing as a business to make sure that we were going to be protecting our students, that we were going to be protecting them at the in the studio while they were there so that they could feel safe to come back out again. So that they, and you know, we still have some students that haven't gotten back out, and that's okay too. We are going to be, you know, ready for them whenever they're ready to come back out to the studio. So that was, we wanted to make sure that those couple things were mentioned, was definitely like our excitement for being open, but two, we wanted to make sure that we were covering people's needs of, you know, their safety because of the influx of fear that had gone out. It was really important that we gave our students a sense of security that they were going to be okay to come back in, that it was all right to come back and practice yoga. So, so yes, once we got the word, you know, we were waiting on the governor to speak. And once he did, the three of us again got on the phone and okay, here we go. All right, we got the email ready. Okay, I'm hitting send. And then, you know, I think that was at like 5 or 6 o'clock at night, and we were opening the next morning at 7 a.m. And being able to get that communication out quickly to be able to get our software up and running again quickly was key to being able to, again, get the students back in and start generating revenue again for our business. So.
It's absolutely amazing, Amy, because I think that, you know, as I said, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are like, oh, I don't know what to do. I love what you said. We wanted our students to feel safe, but, you know, we also, you know, that goal is that covering people's needs, creating that space for them. That's why this is the number one studio in all of Phoenix, right? 2 years in a row, this community, it's so unique. I literally work with thousands of small business owners. And when I say this, what you guys did was so rare. And let me ask you this, how did that shutdown make you guys stronger as a team? Because it's clear to me that, you know, mm-hmm. from the communication, from the, there was always a lot of unity, but like it's, you're so much stronger now.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it bonded us in a different way. You know, anytime you go through crisis with a group of people, there's a lot of things that happen. You are vulnerable, right? And so when you are vulnerable with other people, especially your teammates, and you work together to find solutions and you are just present and you have the same common goal, that was really important. And also we allowed each other to express our feelings whenever we were going through moments of frustration, you know, because there were many. mm-hmm. there were, I mean, it wasn't all, we weren't always like cool cucumbers, you know. There were some moments where we were frustrated and we were angry. And so giving each other moments to be able to vent our frustration and then, okay, now what are we going to do about it? Like, let's get the, allow us to get the emotionally weighty or emotionally heavy things out of the way. Okay, now what's going to be our solution? Now that we've gotten those pieces out, like, what's the most like level-headed solution that we can come up with? So definitely we are much more bonded now than we were in the beginning of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, it was so interesting what you said, you know, allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, allowing ourselves to express that frustration, and then moving forward and saying, okay, what's the best solution we can, you know, come up with right now? Would you say that for some people, that's a challenge? They're trying to make rational decisions when they haven't allowed themselves to fully release mm-hmm. what needs to be released.
Yeah, exactly. Getting into a little bit of the energetics talk of yoga. Yeah. There is a buildup that happens anytime that we're going through something or things aren't sitting right with us, or we start to get angry or frustrated. There's a buildup that happens and a release that also naturally needs to happen. And you can get that release from either, you know, something like vigorous exercise, like hot yoga, or going for a run, or being able to verbally get it out. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes even if it's heavy, what we're feeling in the moment, being able to express it verbally, being able to get it out, sometimes you need to yell it out. Sometimes you need to get angry and frustrated so that you can, you know, they used to call it burning off steam for a reason, right? So that it will relieve the pressure. And once you relieve that pressure, then you come out on the other side much more clear, about how to handle things. So yeah, definitely it's an important part of the release.
The release is huge. And whatever is not expressed is going to be suppressed. And that's where people mm-hmm. do a ton of drugs, they overeat, they drink. Mm-hmm. And we mm-hmm. saw that a lot in quarantine where, you know, liquor sales were up like, I don't know, like just an exorbitant amount. And everyone knew what was happening in Tiger King. And like, it was like, you know, it wasn't going anywhere. I want to share a story with you that involves Radiate. So last year I did for many years in Canada, I did an event based on a best-selling book I wrote called The Have It All Women. And so I didn't do any events in the US when I first came, but last year I started my first event, which was a marketing event for small business owners. And we're doing, you know, bring in like one of the top podcasters in the world, YouTube specialists, everything, but there was a spiritual component. We hired a videographer who did video of people. He did interviews. He did a bunch of B-roll, and he disappeared with all our footage $15,000 later. So we couldn't find him. Amy, we couldn't find him. We're, you know, calling him. One of my staff is calling him. And one day I was at Radiate and I was like, what is it that I need to learn from this situation and how I'm showing up in the situation? So I was doing yoga and then I went out to my car. You mentioned screaming, and I had all the windows closed. I was like, scream, scream, scream. And I'm not even kidding you. The moment I finished screaming and I let it out, he called me.
I love that.
And then we received this massive hard drive with all of our footage on it. And I think it's so key what you said, and I hope that everyone listening gets it. You can't hold this stuff in. Mm-hmm. Like, and you've done many healing certifications. I want to sort of finish the show with this. I would love for you to share, you know, what are some techniques that you mentioned, you know, be screaming if you need to scream, do something mm-hmm. physical. What else can people do to deal with, as you said, some of this heaviness they might be feeling, because it's toxic and it also holds us back, right?
Yeah, so I totally agree. Having some tools in your back pocket right now to be able to handle life is really important. And one of the biggest ones that I love that is cheap and easy is journaling. Mm-hmm. It, you know, having a piece of paper or getting an inexpensive notebook to just write things out is really important. What happens when we journal is we breathe things from our mind and we bring it down into our heart and it comes out our arm and into the pen. And so when we do that, we can really allow ourselves to express and to get things out. You know, I think therapy is wonderful if you can do that. However, being able to journal gives you an outlet very similar. It gives you this format to express yourself with no judgment whatsoever. There's no one on the other side to judge you. It's always available 24 hours a day. So if you're laying in bed at night and you can't sleep, grab your notebook, grab a pen, write down what's going on in your mind. Get it out of your mind. It is a form of release to bring the thoughts out onto paper. And so I think that that is a really, really great way to be able to get things out that maybe you don't feel comfortable talking to people about either. Because there are so many different views and different opinions right now, and maybe use the journal to explore your own opinions and to explore what's going on with you. This time has given us a lot of alone time, a lot of time to sit in contemplation, a lot of time to sit and think. And so what a great time to really explore the inner workings of your mind, maybe see what your true intentions are, what your true desires are. Doing a manifesting journal, or maybe you use a journal to dream up what this next phase of life is going to look like for you. I think that manifesting is really important. And one of the great ways to start doing that is through journaling and just allowing yourself to daydream and see yourself in the vision of this new world that we have ahead of us. So journaling is really great. And then also, I love meditation. There are so many great formats out there these days for recorded meditations. I use the app Insight Timer, but I know that there are several others. And that's one of my favorite things to do when I wake up in the morning and I can already sense that my brain is wanting to go a direction that I'm not wanting it to. I can pop on a meditation for loving kindness, or pop up a meditation about self-care, and just take 20 minutes first thing in the morning to get my mind in the right direction right away before I even start my day. And that usually is like a big one. And if you can meditate and journal and you have time for both, great.
Yeah, just get up really, really early.
Just get up really, really early.
It's I was doing yoga yesterday with my daughter, who's my youngest one, who's 11, and she's like, "Mommy, when did you start doing yoga?" And I was like, "The 90s, like early 90s, maybe even before then." And teaching our children to be mindful, teaching them to express, teaching them to breathe, right? How often do we go through our days and we're not even breathing, you know? And it doesn't have to be a big practice. It could literally be 5 minutes where you just close your eyes and start breathing deeply, and just knowing that if something is knocking on your brain, meaning like you cannot get rid of it, just like I was with that whole video thing, that it's there's something for you to learn about you and how you're showing up, which is huge. Well, Amy, how can people follow you on social? Because you're amazing. And I was like,
thank you.
I've interviewed so many. We're almost on episode, I don't know, it depends when you're listening. I think we're almost on episode 200 of the show. But I was really looking forward to interviewing you for this very reason, because the objective of the show is to really help people see possibilities no matter what's going on. So how can people follow you? How can they connect with you?
Sure. So you can find me personally at amylynn.me. That's AimeeLynn.me on Instagram. Or you can find my yoga studio at Radiate Hot Yoga. That's RADI, the number 8, HOTYOGA.
Well, thank
you.
You
can find those on Instagram there. Yep.
Thank you, Miss Amylynn. And hey, I know that because this is a global show, but if you're in Phoenix, come to Radiate. Like if I love you, I bring you to Radiate. I brought many people to Radiate.
You've brought a lot of friends over the years.
Well, I figure if we can go through hot yoga together, then it strengthens the bond, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me, Susan. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Amylynn. And thank you, everyone who's been here. If this show has helped you, we would love for you to share it. If you're listening on iTunes and this has been amazing for you, we would love a 5-star review. And thinking about whomever it is in your life who perhaps needs to hear this message, just deploy, 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 because the show is all about service. So with that, God bless, go rock your day, and I will see you in a future episode of the Susan Slide Project.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.